There's a children's book called If You Give a Mouse a Cookie. I don't know if you've ever seen this book. My kids have it, and they like to read that one. But If You Give a Mouse a Cookie is the name of it. And it's about this little boy who sees a mouse. And I guess the story is showing what would happen if this boy gave the mouse a cookie. The boy seems to start with to be very relaxed and just laying there and having nothing to do. But the book says if you give the mouse a cookie, he's going to want a glass of milk. And then he's going to want a straw. And then he's going to want a napkin when he's finished. And then he's going to want a mirror to make sure he's wiped all the milk off his face. And then when he looks in the mirror, he's going to want a haircut. Then he's going to want to clean up, so he needs a broom. And then he cleans up some more, and he needs a mop. And so it goes on and on, and the mouse just needs more and more and more. And you get the idea through this book that this mouse can want more than the little boy can provide. He wants more than the little boy can handle. And we see also in the Bible things that are like this. The Bible speaks of things that are never satisfied. They're always wanting more. Ecclesiastes 1 and 8 says, all things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. Proverbs 27 and 2 says, hell and destruction are never full. So the eyes of man are never satisfied. Ecclesiastes 5 and 10 says, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This also is vanity. So we see the eyes of men can look and they can want and never be satisfied with their wants, always wanting more. And it says here that the one that loves silver, he won't be satisfied with silver. And the one that wants abundance, he won't be satisfied with his increase. They always want more. But then the Bible also tells us in contrast that the meek shall be satisfied. Psalms 22 and 26 says, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. So the meek would eat their meat, and they would be satisfied with what they've been given. It's a blessing to be satisfied. Jesus said that blessed are those that do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed. So you see the contrast there of those that hunger and thirst for righteousness with those that hunger and thirst for silver or for abundance. But as we think about the story of the little boy in the book didn't say that the little boy should not give the mouse a cookie. It didn't say that. It just said, if. It teaches a lesson if we look at it. It teaches us a lesson about life. About if we give of ourselves, or when we give of ourselves, be prepared for more to be requested. It's a common knowledge that we should have about things in life. They tend to grow or progress to get bigger. Especially, you see, that of giving. Giving is complicated, and when you give, it seems to have this tendency to grow, to demand even more. There was a common saying, I guess, back in Bible times. We see this phrase quite a few times in the Bible. It says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And I think this saying that we see in the Bible is teaching us the same idea about things that have a tendency to grow. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. In Galatians 5 and 9, there was some wrong teaching to the region of Galatia. They had some things that were not right about the salvation, about the law, and they were teaching about the circumcision. But Galatians 5 and 9 says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And the point of this saying in correcting this false doctrine was that the false doctrine could not be ignored. You can't just ignore it. because it will grow to a bigger problem. Because what we believe affects how we behave. What we believe matters. You couldn't just ignore it. A little leaven will leaven the whole lump. In Corinthians, we know in 1 Corinthians how that there was a morality problem in Corinth. One of the members of the church there had a problem with this visible sin in their life. But we see the same expression used there in Galatians 5. I mean, not Galatians, we've already done Galatians 5. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 6, he goes and says that your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? So they were going on to try to glorify God. They were going on about church as if they were okay, but he says, your glorying is not good. And don't you know, and you see this common phrase again, this phrase that we'll see a few times in the Bible referring to leaven. He says, know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Verse 7 says, Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice or wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So the problem that these Corinthians had couldn't just be ignored. This immorality. It would grow into more immorality. We see that about these things, immorality. It will grow and become a bigger problem. A little bit of leaven left in there would grow to leaven the whole lump. We see also he said that malice and wickedness here was called leaven. Things like this will grow. 1 Corinthians 15 and 33 says, be not deceived, evil communication corrupt good manners. And we know what that communication to us, that we may think that's just speech. But in the ESV, it's put this way. He says, be not deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. This communication is talking about the people that we keep, the interactions that we have with other people. Bad company, bad interaction can ruin good morals, good manners, good teaching that we have established, we have learned, can be corrupted. Oh, and you may think, well, it's really not my business to tell my friends how that they should behave. It's not my place to tell them how they should talk. But the Bible says that we need to beware of that leaven. Beware of the leaven. It will grow on us. Be careful of our friends, our company that we keep. Those things can grow on us. And we see this in the Bible, that these things that are called leaven, we see that that's a statement. I believe that's a statement about their ability to grow and their nature of being progressive, in that they grow and get bigger, a bigger problem, and grow more and more. I think that's what Jesus meant whenever he compares things to being leaven. And we see that Jesus referred to the doctrine. He says, beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees in Matthew 16. And at first the disciples didn't understand, but then the Bible says that they then understood that he meant their doctrine whenever he referred to the leaven. Beware of that false doctrine. Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy can grow. When you're around people who are phony and not real, and they're faking to put on, it can grow on us. It can grow, and we can become that, to become insincere see insincerity. And Jesus says to beware of that leaven. But Jesus also compared the kingdom of heaven to a leaven that a lady mixed into some meal, and it grew and it leavened the whole lump. And I think there he's teaching again of the nature of the kingdom of heaven, that it would may start out as something small to start with, but it would grow. It would grow into something more. So this morning I want us to consider these things, a little leaven leavening the whole lump. To consider the way that things would grow in our nature. They would grow by nature, and they would grow in our decisions. Be careful in our decisions, realizing this principle of how that things would grow. Though we may think that it's only a little to start with, we can turn to Proverbs chapter 6, and we'll read some verses here. We just talked about a little thing. It's just a little. Proverbs chapter 6. And he's going to teach us about how to live and how to work. Proverbs 6 and 6 says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise." So it's the sluggard, the person that's not wanting to work, the person that's lazy, he's told to go and look at the ant. Consider her ways and be wise. He says, "Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provided her meat in the summer and gathered her food in the harvest." So we look at the ant and see how that it works when it's time to work. In the summer, when there's food for the harvest, she gathers it. It says, "How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise after thy sleep?" But look at what the response says. Look at what he says in verse 10. "Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man." He says a little sleep and a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. I wonder about this sometimes when I'm reading. What is he talking about? Just a little sleep. But I think that would be his perspective. That would be the way that the man who doesn't go out and work, he sees it, oh, it's just a little sleep. I just want a little more sleep. I just want a little more rest. A little folding of the hands to sleep. Look in chapter 24. He speaks some more about this slothful person. He just considered it a little sleep. He says in verse 30, Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 30, "I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep." So we see the same expression again. This little bit of sleep, just taking a little bit. And we see that he says there about the poverty coming upon him. We see the things that happened here. He was given this field. He had this field. He had a vineyard. But now it was grown over with thorns. It wasn't kept. You see that little bit of sleep that he wanted kept him from going out and doing the work that was needed. I think from that little bit of sleep would grow into more rest and more. I think that's the problem. When I read this little bit. And this is a common principle that we need to consider. We need to realize in making our decisions that things that may seem to us small can lead to bigger things. They lead on to bigger problems. They seem small to start with, but we need to realize them in our decisions. When we make the wrong decision, Don't just excuse it as being, oh, a little thing, because those little things grow. As Barney would say, we have to nip it in the bud. When it's still a small problem, realize it there. Romans 6, 1 and 2 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We can't just excuse it and go on and just continue in sin and consider it, oh, a little thing. Little things grow into bigger problems. And we can see that in David's fall. As you consider that, how that it starts out just a small matter, David neglecting the duties of the king. When the kings were out at war, he doesn't go. He goes and seeks maybe this little bit of rest. And then he goes where he shouldn't be, and he's looking instead of being busy. He's out looking where he shouldn't look. And then he's inquiring, and it progresses, and we see him, in a sense, committing murder. He's having one of his own kills to cover his sins because those little things, bad decisions, progress into bigger problems. Someone said, if you let the devil, if the devil can get his foot in the door, he'll soon be inside, stomping all around, stomping on everything. As we think back about the mouse, giving the mouse a cookie, I saw, I don't know, y'all may have seen it on the sign out in front of the church down the road from here. It says if you give the devil a ride, he's going to want to drive. That's similar to that giving the mouse a cookie. Things have a tendency to grow. If you give the devil a ride, eventually he's going to want to drive. Might start out just wanting something small, but it grows into something more. Romans gives us a warning. Romans 13 and 14 says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to lust, to fulfill the lust thereof. We need to hear this warning to not make provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. The devil, says the Bible teaches us, is our adversary. The devil walks as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to destroy us. He wants to devour us. But he will start by asking for something small. He'll start by asking our attention. He'll ask us to look. Then he'll want us to lust. James chapter 1 verse 13 says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. See, the devil wants us just to look, and then to lust. And we see here this pattern that lust, it's our own lust that tempts us away. When lust is conceived, it brings sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth death. James also tells us to submit ourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. We see this progression. If we resist the devil, he will flee from us. We see the progression also that if we draw nigh to God, he draws nigh to us. As we consider the devil, in resisting him and seeing his ways, the way that he does things, let's look at the few accounts that we have of the devil in specific detail, where we can see how he works. We can see that in the Bible in a few places. He works in many ways, and lots of times he's not observed so much, but there's a few places where we can see the way he works, like in the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, First, he wanted Eve's attention. And when Eve gave the attention and looked, he wanted Eve to look and to, then to eat and to disobey God. And it led to more and more. It says that Eve saw the fruit, that it was good for food and pleasant to the eye and a tree to be desired to make one wise. So it started by just looking and then by desiring, and then she took it and she ate it. She disobeyed God. And as she gave, we see it brought more and more problems. He took more and more. Until we know how that man progressed. We know Cain slew Abel. And as we look on down into Genesis 6, it says, we see how much man had given. He had given so much to the devil that it says there that every imagination of the thoughts of the heart were only evil continuously. So it starts with just a little thought, and then it grows until every imagination of the thought of the heart is evil continually. And also another place where we can see the devil is in Job. We see him presented there in the story of Job, how that he came. And we see that he requested of God. He said that here Job was had a hedge around him and he was blessed. And God said, well, you can take away his stuff, but don't touch him. And then he comes back and he says, well, sure, but if you put forth your hand and you touch his bones, you touch his flesh, then he will curse you. You see, he's not satisfied. He comes back with more and with more. And then the temptation of Jesus, he tempts him with this stone. Make the stones to bread. And then he says, but cast yourself down and let the angels bear you up. And then he says, fall down and worship me. If you'll fall down and worship me. He's mentioned all these promises, these temptations, but we see how that he's persistent. He's persistent, and we see that he's progressive in his way that he comes. But Jesus resisted the devil. He resisted him, as we see the Bible teaches us that we're to do. Resist him, and that he will flee from us. And that's what we have to do. We have to resist him. And we have to not let him have that opportunity to destroy us by boarding him when he first comes and tries to cause our attention away from God. Don't let him start us in that lusting and looking after other things. And momentum is just a fact of nature, that things have momentum. Things of mass and moving in a certain direction, they tend to stay in that same direction. That same momentum, same type of idea is in our choices. The nature of our choices to have this momentum or to be progressive. Whenever we're making bad choices, we seem to make more bad choices. But by the same thing that we've said before, as we talk about the book, the little story book of the for the kids, it didn't say that he shouldn't give the mouse a cookie. It didn't say that he shouldn't, but it does teach us a lesson that we need to be prepared, that things seem to grow. Things tend to grow. And if you give yourself to God, soon you will see more ways to give yourself to God. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 26, part of a parable that Jesus is saying, he says, I say to you that everyone which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away. So those that have a good relationship with God would be given more, a better relationship, more and more to grow. And I hope we could see that in ourselves, that right momentum, that we could see ourselves an ever-growing giving of ourselves to God. And I hope that we don't see it as God always asking and never asking God, because He is the provider. He's always providing for us. But we see ourselves ever giving more and more to Him because we're ever thankful. But who could ever, and have a thankful heart of thinking, who could ever give enough to God and have that kind of an attitude in our Christian walk? I hope as we consider this morning, that we can take a lesson from this mouse, from this story of a little boy. What if we give of ourselves? If we give to the wrong things, we may see more problems. But if we give ourselves to the right things, we may see more opportunities to give. If this little boy wanted a relationship with this mouse, if that was his intention in giving this cookie, well, he got it. And so we need to have that mindset of looking to see where we want to build our relationships and give of ourselves. And that's the sermon this morning. And as we think about our Christian walk, I'm glad that Brian picked up this song, Only a Step. Sometimes our Christian walk starts with only a small step, something small, but grows into something more. And this morning we want to extend that invitation that if you're not a Christian, that you would make that first step, that small step of coming forward to request the prayers or baptism of the church. If you need to be baptized to become a Christian, then take that first step and see what can grow, what good things can grow in our lives. Would you come while we stand and sing?